Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network, bringing you coverage of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Our hosts will review the toys, books, comics, games, and all things related to The Clone Wars animated series. And after each new episode airs on Cartoon Network, our hosts will recap and review the show. And we want to hear your thoughts on The Clone Wars. Call us at 415-508-JEDI every Saturday after a new episode, and your call may be played on the air. With no new episode this week, Jerry looks back at Season 2 with his in-depth review of The Clone Wars Season 2 DVD box set. Nathan looks at cartoon continuity with episode order, and we have big news in this week's Hasbro Q&A.
Welcome everyone to Republic Forces Radio Network. No, you weren't mistaken, there was not a new episode of Clone Wars on Cartoon Network this weekend, but nonetheless, we have been busy with the news in this off week. First, last Tuesday, the Clone Wars Season 2 came out on DVD and Blu-ray. I ordered mine off Amazon for $41.99, and it was waiting for me when I got home that night. This Ultimate Collector's Edition has all 22 episodes of Season 2, including four behind-the-scenes featurettes and an exclusive 68-page production journal with sketches and artist notes. Now, this journal is not exclusive to the Blu-ray, but rather it's exclusive to the Season 2 box set, DVD or Blu-ray. Now, what is exclusive to Blu-ray, though, is the Jedi Temple Archives database of early test animation, concept art, and 3D turnarounds. Now first, let me tell you about the overall package. This box set is beautiful. It has a great image of Yoda with lightsaber in hand on the front cover, and the image is embossed that gives it a really cool 3D look. Now what I really like is it perfectly matches the Season 1 box set, which for a guy like me is really important. I want every set that they make from here on out to have the same shape, size, and general layout, so they'll all look nice together on shelf. Now the one thing about the production journal is the fact that it can be removed from the package. The production journal for Season 1 is bound into the disc case itself, so you cannot separate it when you're flipping through it. The Season 2 journal is nice because you can remove it, which makes it a lot easier to flip through. Now inside we have the production journal. The cover has art from Dave Filoni, and he writes the following about it. I made the poster on the front cover exclusively for the crew. It is based on the classic poster from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which helped influence Season 2 of The Clone Wars. Now the journal itself has production art and some notes, and quite frankly, I don't get terribly excited about such things, but if you do, it has lots of images such as, it has early Embo designs, has an early Zillow Beast design art, also has early Mandalorian color designs, and other things such as early Brainworm designs, and some concept art on Kareena the Great. Now having flipped through it two or three times, I'll probably slide it back in the case and be done with it for a while. There are four featurettes on this box set: Magic of the Holocron, Return to Geonosis, Creating Mandalore, and Attack of the Zillow Beast. The featurettes are pretty standard stuff with behind-the-scenes info on sound design, CG animation, and even some of the creative choices. By far the most interesting one is the Creating Mandalore featurette that has Dave Filoni talking a lot about how he and George Lucas went over all the previous EU information on the Mandalorians to maintain the key truths we hold about them, but yet tell us how it was never George's intent for Jango Fett to be a Mandalorian. Now I won't spoil the featurettes any further, but let the controversy begin. Now overall, the featurettes are fine, but I doubt I'll be returning to watch them again anytime soon. Now the Blu-ray exclusive feature of the Jedi Temple Archives has some interesting concept art with a few Easter eggs that, again, were okay, but I probably won't go back and watch them over again. Now, on to the episode. Now first, let me say that these episodes look incredible in 1080p high definition. And particularly, I watched Landing at Point Rain, Weapons Factory, The Mandalorian Plot, and The Zillow Beast Strikes Back. And I hate to admit it, but Brent, I watched Sentence by 2, and it still isn't doing it for me. Now, Landing at Point Rain was just like watching Episode 2 footage of the Battle of Geonosis. It just looks that good. Now, my only complaint about this set, though, which holds true for Season 1, that these sets need to include the decoded episodes. Now, I know that Cartoon Network didn't air any decoded episodes for Season 2, but I would love, particularly on a Blu-ray, to see this as an added feature that you could turn on and off. Tell me all those behind-the-scenes tidbits, the callbacks, and the inside jokes to everything that happens and that goes on in the background. That would make these sets perfect. Now, I'm kind of surprised, too, that the weekly video commentaries of Dave Filoni are not on this set. Now, I recognize they're easily accessible online, but I suppose one of these days that won't be the case. It'd be nice to have the complete package here. But nonetheless, $42 for a Blu-ray or $29 for the DVD set at Amazon are great prices. Now, Season 2 had a few duds, in my opinion, but it mostly had very strong episodes with an equally strong finish with the Boba Fett arc, so definitely go pick this up. This set is an easy recommend for me. Now, I know that these Blu-rays will anxiously be awaiting the Movie Saga Blu-rays to join them next fall. Now, one thing we've seen with Season 3 so far is the chronology of the shows as they are being aired. We saw this a little bit in Season 1 and 2, where a couple shows chronologically took place prior to the Clone Wars theatrical film, but this season is not even trying to stay on a linear timeline. So we have a very special continuity corner this week, in which Nathan P. Butler brings us an in-depth analysis of how he sees the chronology of the animated Clone Wars series after last week's episode, Assassin. Take it away, Nathan.
Okay, well, from the standpoint of something relatively minor here, we have a nice little connection between recent publications in this episode. Anakin is sent to Baelith, B-A-L-I-T-H, which is why he's not with Ahsoka and Padme in this episode. And when they were putting together the online appendix for the Essential Atlas, the creators of that awesome Star Wars guide managed to include this as part of the Inner Rim because they were made privy to it showing up here in the series. So it's kind of like the appearance of the one character that we saw, one of the smugglers from Corruption, showing up in the Clone Wars Avengers video game. Every now and then we see something that we know is coming, or that they know is coming up in the series referenced elsewhere, because of course they know what's going to happen well before we do. Very much like Ahsoka in this episode, only from a publishing side, no one is sitting there meditating, at least not that we know of. I have never taken the time to say, forget it, I am going to look at all of the Clone Wars episodes in their entirety and see if I can figure out an order in which they go together that makes sense. I've done it for the timeline up to a point, but because of all the new revelations that we have from this season, I hadn't even bothered. I hadn't even tried because I thought it was such a convoluted mess. But I took that comment as a challenge, and I took this episode as almost an insult to my sense of continuity, because here we are being told that this must be after, presumably, the Academy, at least based on what we see with Ahsoka being congratulated, presumably for the mission to Mandalore, it may have been. And, of course, hear us having this being after Lethal Trackdown because they assume Oro was dead, and yet still before Hostage Crisis because Zero is still in prison. It really kind of made me think, oh, what the heck are they doing? It really just kind of made me think my head was going to explode. Fortunately, a couple of conversations with Leland Chi, brief comments back and forth with him later, it seems as though at least there is a plan behind the scenes, and he is at least privy to maybe at least this season of it, because in a couple of cases he was like, you know what, just ask me later in the season, I can't say anything right now. So hopefully there is a plan, but they're not revealing it to us, much as it would be nice to see.
Hey, Nathan, real quick, you know, I actually took that this episode took place right after Lethal Trackdown and that she was reporting back to them on that.
That could very well be. But
okay, I just want to make sure I didn't miss something, you know, because it was kind of weird because Plo Koon was in the audience, whereas he really should have been more on the reporting side. So I was a little confused because Plo Koon was there with Ahsoka on that planet, not Anakin.
Yeah, but remember they say, and since then, several missions have passed where they've worked together, blah, blah, blah. But then again, at the same time, here they are. You know, granted, it's Ahsoka being congratulated with Anakin at her side, but they almost make it sound like the last mission she's coming back from they were possibly together on. But they're showing the Academy, so there's a lot of hinkiness going to that. But at least I got this sense that maybe they've got a solution already in place. Maybe they've already come up with the order of these episodes, or at least, boy, I hope that they are being consistent in that regard. So I decided to take it as a challenge, see if I could figure out an order in which all this Clone Wars stuff fits together. I had to leave out a couple of things. I haven't been able to research enough, but I said on the Facebook page that I would eventually reveal it here. So as far as I can tell, here is, thanks to this episode, where we stand as far as the order of all this Clone Wars stuff. This is a grab a Snickers kind of moment. We know that the first one is Cat and Mouse, which takes place before The Hidden Enemy, before the Clone Wars film. It's the earliest one, at least according to what they've told us previously. Then we've got this shadowed webcomic, which leads into The Hidden Enemy, which shows the initial takeover of Christophsis, which may actually be before Cat and Mouse, maybe between the two prequel episodes. Kind of hard to say, but suffice to say, it's back there around the same time. And then you've got, of course, The Hidden Enemy, the season one episode before the film, and then the Clone Wars film itself, which is sort of our zero point for all this Clone Wars stuff. At this point, we go back to a couple of episodes ago with supply lines, and we got to say what we said in the continuity bit for that, which is that the Covetous and Curfew web comics that were released with Storm Over Ryloth and Innocence of Ryloth would have to take place right around that time, because it's got to be before supply lines, because they're dealing with the initial invasion of Ryloth. It's possible that the Ballad of Shyam Syndulla, another webcomic, the one from Liberty on Ryloth, may actually go there early as well, because it tells Shyam Syndulla's heroics and his story without Jedi being mentioned. But that could be because the Jedi aren't there yet. It could also be because he's so ticked off that the Jedi don't send any more help that they just sort of wiped him out from the story. So maybe that takes place closer to the Ryloth trilogy. But suffice to say, those initial invasion stories have to be very early. Then we've got Supply Lines, which as far as we know is the first episode taking place after the events of the Clone Wars film. It's before Ambush, and it launches that Battle of Ryloth that apparently now is much longer than we ever thought. At that point, we got a questionable item. We have the Prelude webcomic, which would take place next in theory, but maybe invalidated. It's got use of the Malevolence super weapon storyline. It mentions the hunt for the Malevolence. It shows Skytop Station going online, so it's tying into the Malevolence trilogy and the Duel of the Droids, Downfall of a Droid duology. But it also gives a contradictory reason for why Yoda is going to Rugosa to meet with King Katuko in Ambush. So it could be that that's just an alternate explanation or another thing that convinces them to meet, or it could be that that webcomic has been invalidated and is simply gone, as far as we know. If it exists, though, it ties together Ambush as having to be early on, along with Supply Lines. You get rid of the webcomic, you can take Ambush and Supply Lines and maybe throw it further down the timeline so the Ryloth conflict isn't nearly as long, but we have no idea whether to say so or not yet. Also around that time, you would have the Holonet News, a Galaxy Divided podcast episode that mentions the hunt for the Malevolence as well. Lots of things mention the hunt for the Malevolence as it goes along. Then we have Ambush, after Supply Lines, of course. Ambush, it's prior to the Droids duology and the Malevolence trilogy, if we assume the Prelude webcomic still exists. And then we got to keep playing with these webcomics here. The Fall of Faline webcomic leads into Downfall of a Droid. It's the one that went with it. And Downfall of a Droid, we know, is the first Anakin adventure after the film, according to the Wild Space novel and the original intended airing order. And the Wild Space novel takes place concurrently with Downfall of a Droid. Then we get the Discount webcomic that leads into Duel of the Droids and Duel of the Droids. And I personally put No Prisoners, the novel, also around this time, because the new clones in No Prisoners are said to be replacements for the ones that were killed on Christophsis. But this can't be Anakin and Ahsoka's first mission after the film, because Wild Space pinned that down to Downfall of a Droid, so maybe it's one of the first after the film. Then we've got the Clone Wars Digest comic story, Shipyards of Doom, which likely takes place around this time as well, because it refers to the Malevolence in passing as a super weapon that they're hunting. That brings us to the Malevolence trilogy, the Shakedown webcomic that leads into Rising Malevolence, Rising Malevolence itself, the Procedure webcomic that bridges Rising and Shadow of Malevolence, Shadow of Malevolence itself, and the Lightsaber Duels video game level from Shadow of Malevolence, in which Dooku boards the Negotiator, Obi-Wan's ship, during the events of Shadow of Malevolence, though not seen in the episode, only to wind up being captured and then immediately to escape when Obi-Wan is called to the Malevolence later for Destroy Malevolence, which brings us into the webcomic Agenda, leading to Destroy Malevolence and then Destroy Malevolence itself. Then shortly after the destruction of the Malevolence, we get the Clone Wars tales in the Secret Missions kids book series, starting with Breakout Squad and Curse of the Black Hole Pirates, which, by the way, do end up including Cad Bane, Robo Nino, and Bossk. I'm assuming then, because of the placement of rookies in Season 1, that in theory, this is when we would get clone cadets, or maybe it's a little bit earlier, because it has to be before rookies. We'd also get Mouse Hunt, a webcomic that also leads into rookies with an earlier inspection of those clones at the Rishi base by Rex and Cody. So it's sometime between clone cadets and rookies. Then we'd have rookies, though, again, you could spread these out possibly, and rookies just needs to be quite a while before ARC Troopers comes around, whenever the heck that takes place. Then you're heading into those episodes focusing around the capture of Newt Gunray and the pursuit of Grievous immediately afterwards. So you get the podcast Holonet News, Rodia Supply Lines Attacked, that sets up Bombad Jedi, along with the webcomic Departure that sets up Bombad Jedi. That's actually the one that makes it clear that the episodes focusing on Gunray's capture here take place after the Malevolence episodes, as the series presented them in order, instead of before the Malevolence episodes, which is what the Lightsaber Duels video game and the original intended airing order presented them as. So then we got Bombad Jedi, relatively early in the Clone Wars. It's got to be before Senate Murders, because Anaconda Farr is in it. Then we get the Transfer webcomic that bridges Bombad Jedi and Cloak of Darkness. Cloak of Darkness itself, which leads us into the podcast Holonet News, Chancellor Palpatine's Approval Rating Falls, and the rather nebulous webcomic The Dreams of General Grievous, leading into Lair of Grievous. Then Lair of Grievous, that great Kit Fisto episode. And part of the online video game that I always found funny, I had to keep saying it every time they advertise it on Cartoon Network with that Australian voice, Path of the Jedi, overlaps with Lair of Grievous in space above Vasek. I would then put the Clone Wars Digest story Crash Course somewhere around this time, because Ahsoka takes on Asajj Ventress in what appears to be a rematch from Cloak of Darkness, and it needs to happen pretty quickly so it doesn't clash with other ones. You can also maybe put the next Clone Wars Digest issue, Wind Raiders of Talaran, around that point, or around any events tying into Kothless, whether it's Shipyards of Doom or Clone Wars Gambit, because there's a tie into that as well. I would also assume that since all the other stories from Season 1, for the most part, that are repeated in the Lightsaber Duels video game are wrapped up by this point, you can also go ahead and put in the one original level of the Lightsaber Duels video game at this point, since it introduces the Jedi Hunter droid that we see later in the Republic Heroes video games. That gets us to the webcomic slash episode mess of Bait, which tells a contradictory story of how Anakin gets supposedly captured for Dooku captured, then Dooku captured, the first encounter they have with Hondo Onaka, then Switch, the webcomic that explains how they are somehow drugged after not being drugged, and then we have the Gungan General, the second part of that two-parter. That then brings us into the Aayla Secura episodes. So we have the Head Games webcomic dealing with Jedi Crash, or leading into Jedi Crash, then Jedi Crash itself, the Neighbors webcomic that helps bridge Jedi Crash and Defenders of Peace, and Defenders of Peace. After that, you start heading into the Ryuchuchi story with Cold Snap, a webcomic that leads into Trespass, and then Trespass itself, which has that first appearance thus far that we know of Ryuchuchi. And sometime around this time, either between Defenders of Peace and Trespass, or between Trespass and Blue Shadow Virus, we get the Clone Wars Gambit novels, Stealth and Siege, because they deal with Anakin's injuries in the aftermath of Jedi Crash and Defenders of Peace, but also has Loke Dird free under mysterious circumstances that they acknowledge in the book. That timeline placement was confirmed, by the way, by Karen Miller in an interview I did with her, along with Andrew, for the EU review. Then we got our two-part, one-night event with the Valley webcomic leading into Blue Shadow Virus, followed by Blue Shadow Virus and Mystery of a Thousand Moons. Then, presumably, that's when we get to our Ryloth trilogy. Storm over Ryloth, which has to be a long while after Supply Lines, part of this sort of broader Ryloth conflict, and then its second part, Innocence of Ryloth, third part, Liberty on Ryloth, possibly with Ballad of Shams Syndulla in there, but remember the webcomics from it have to happen way earlier before Supply Lines. And then the way I'm figuring it out, this is when things start to really get mixed, because I have the Mandalore episodes next. The Mandalore plot presumably comes after the Ryloth episodes, doesn't necessarily have to, but presumably it could. Then Voyage of Temptation and Duchess of Mandalore rounding out that trilogy, because it's got to be before Corruption and before the Academy. Then I would put the Zillow Beast duology, the Zillow Beast and the Zillow Beast Strikes Back in there, because they've got to be before the Season 2 finale, because Commander Pons, or I think it's Commander, Pons appears, and of course he dies in Lethal Trackdown. At which point, from my perspective, this is where you bring in the Season 2 finale. Death Trap, because it has to be before, you know, Hostage Crisis and everything, thanks to this episode. So we have Death Trap, R2 Come Home, and Lethal Trackdown. This is where Aurra Sing is left for dead, setting up the events of Assassin, where we find out that it's got to be before Hostage Crisis because of Zero. So I would put Death Trap, R2 Come Home, and Lethal Trackdown right there, then put in Sphere of Influence, because Sphere of Influence, like so many others, has to be before Senate Murders because Anaconda Farr is alive. It's also got to be before Senate Spy because the Nemoidians aren't all believed to be traitors to the Republic, and because in the Academy, we are told, thanks to Dave Filoni, that Ahsoka's confidence with her mind trick in the Academy is a growth from her use of the mind trick in Sphere of Influence, so it's got to be before that. I would then take that very quickly into Corruption, which has to be after the previous Mandalore episodes, the Academy, which is, of course, directly after Corruption, presumably, and seems to be prior to the Assassin or to Assassin this week's episode. Then, because of the opening crawl, I would go ahead and send us straight into Assassin this week's episode, because it has to be after the Academy if the news reel is true, which is iffy, if that is what she's really being congratulated for. It's got to be after Lethal Trackdown, because they believe Aurra Sing is dead, and it's got to be before Hostage Crisis, because Zero is still in prison. Then next episode should be Evil Plans shortly after Assassin. Then I've got us going directly into Hostage Crisis, because where the heck else are you gonna go? We have the webcomic Invitation Only that leads into Hostage Crisis, then Hostage Crisis itself, which has to be after Assassin, before Senate Murders, because Anaconda Farr is in it, And it's the episode where Zero gets freed and where Padme, and this is important, has her first encounter with Cad Bane, because they have to introduce each other to each other in that episode. Then you get the three-part Hunting the Hunter's web comic and its respective video games, Gunship Over Florum, Swamp Station Sweep, and Droids Over Iago, that take place in the immediate aftermath of Hostage Crisis. And that leaves Zero out there at large, presumably leading us into the episode two episodes from now, which would be Hunt for Zero. And sometime after Zero is freed, that's when we'd have to see the Jedi Alliance video game that focuses on the Malevolence's sister ship, the Devastation, because Zero is in it. And then sometime after the events of Hostage Crisis, because Padme and our other heroes know Cad Bane already but aren't entirely inclined to shoot him on sight, we get the Republic Heroes video game that starts with the prologue story in the Nintendo DS game and then continues in the main story in the game on the other consoles. And it's also definitely after the events of the Ryloth trilogy, because the story begins with a mopping up operation on Ryloth. It also ties into another podcast called A Galaxy Divided, but a series of podcasts under that name that tie into the events of the game itself. And sometime around that time, after most of Season 1 is over, we get the Clone Wars video game for, I kid you not, cell phones, because it includes Denal, who dies during Season 2's opening trilogy, killed by Cad Bane and replaced by him. Which brings us to that opening trilogy. Holocron Heist, an unspecified amount of time after Hostage Crisis, the Act on Instinct web comic, which then begins with the capture of Bola Rapal between Holocron Heist and Cargo of Doom. Then we get Cargo of Doom, Children of the Force, and the rest of Act on Instinct, which continues after Children of the Force because it shows Bola Rapal's former Padawan being informed of his death, and it continues onward for some unspecified duration after that. We would then get Senate Spy, which has to be after all those episodes where, gee, the Trade Federation, they're not all bad, because this is where we find out that, yeah, they're all bad. Then we have a prelude to Point Rain recording slash reading from a convention appearance that showed up as a script on StarWars.com that bridges Senate Spy with Landing at Point Rain. We get Landing at Point Rain, Weapons Factory, Legacy of Terror, and Brain Invaders, all those zombie-style stories. That's when I would assume the comic book storyline In Service of the Republic must take place, because that's the story that explains how Wolf loses his eye, which is replaced by a prosthetic by the time of Grievous Intrigue, which is the next episode I would go to. Grievous Intrigue, which is nothing special. Deserter, which just continues from Grievous Intrigue. And then Lightsaber Lost, also nothing particularly special. At this point, you're finally free of Anakin Dafar to have Senate Murders, which has to be after any appearance of him, including Sphere of Influence, Hostage Crisis, Bombad Jedi, all those stories in which Anakin Dafar appears, even in the background. And then you just got your stories that really don't have anywhere else to be put, except they happen to come after a lot of these other ones. Bounty Hunters could be put in there. It's got to at least be after Dooku captured and the Gungan General, maybe even after Lethal Trackdown, all because of the interaction with Hondo that takes place. You've got ARC Troopers. It has to be sometime after Clone Cadets and Rookies, long enough to give the clones a little bit more battle experience, so maybe it's this far out. And that's the latest one continuity-wise that I've got, but this all leaves out the rather unremarkable and hard-to-place Flash video games that are online, the Outfoxed story from, I think it was Target, the Journey Through Hyperspace Kids book, the Colossus of Destiny issue of Clone Wars Digest that doesn't have any real chronological markers in it, the Free Comic Book Day comic entitled The Gauntlet of Death, the Slaves of the Republic and Hero of the Confederacy comics that go back to the series that I reviewed a short while ago, the Clone Wars UK magazine comics that are being reprinted in the US we mentioned last time, the Season 3 webcomic, the Valsidian operation, which I haven't read, frankly, and a few other smaller items. So to my best knowledge, to my best understanding, to my best deductive work, that's as close to an approximate order of episodes as we have right now. And I'm sure that within the span of another couple of weeks, they will change it, and it'll all get scrambled up again. But for those who are constantly asking me, what order do you think the episodes go in? This isn't perfect, but it's the best reasoning I've come up with so far. Feel free to dispute, and I'm open to suggestions, quite frankly.
Wow, that just boggles the mind on so many levels. Great job with that, Nathan. I just hope that when Leland Chi has the dubious task of bringing this all together, that he contacts you for some consultation. Now, to end this week's episode, we have a very interesting Hasbro Q&A to share. Question 1. The rumor has once again surfaced that realistically styled Clone Wars figures are being added to the vintage collection. Can you squash it once more, or is there truth here? And, with the ever-increasing quality of the art on Clone Wars, as evidenced by the Season 3 premiere, is it hard to keep that differentiation? Their answer. From our standpoint, it's not hard to keep the differentiation between the realistic and Clone Wars styles. There are still enough stylistic departures that we see each style of character naturally being grouped together. It's an interesting question for fans, though. Do they keep the lines separate in their minds and on shelves, or do they mix them up together? As for the first question, we do have answers. The first few characters to debut in the Clone Wars will find their way to the Vintage line beginning in 2012. There will only be a few, though, because everything, movies, EU, and Clone Wars, needs to be balanced with the majority of the slots going to the movies. Question 2. Our kids are loving the new game included with the Clone Wars figures, but some are worried about the cards coming with the repackaged figures, not wanting to rebuy a figure they have at least once and maybe more than once with battle packs just to get the cards. Would there be any other methods available to get these cards for these repacked figures? Their answer. We're glad to hear you kids are enjoying the game. We are hoping that kids would find the fun in the additional new way to play with their figures. Though we did discuss it, we are not planning to make the cards available for previously existing figures. Since there are so many previous figures, it takes a lot to create the new cards. We have only been focused on going forward. Now thanks again for the support and congratulations on having a hobby that both you and your kids can share together. Well, thank you, Hasbro, for taking the time to address our questions this go-around. Now I have to comment on the vintage card news here. Personally, I am loving the vintage lineup and think Hasbro is doing great things with it. There's a cool mix of true vintage reproduction and new original artwork, such as that very cool Stand Trooper. But I also really like the Episode 3 cards. The General Grievous and the Commander Cody look great and perfectly mix the right movie photo with a color scheme that makes the overall mint-on-card figure really stand out. There are so many folks, though, who don't like the fact that prequel figures are making their way to vintage card backs, but personally, I welcome it. To me, it's not about vintage versus modern. It's about having the perfect card design available for our action figures. Now, growing up in the 70s and 80s, the only card back design to me is that vintage Kenner look. I've never been a big fan of any of the card backs since 1995. Now, some are obviously better than others, but the only ones I ever loved was the original Trilogy Collection card backs of 2004 and the Saga Collection cards of 2006, but of course, those strongly mimicked the Kenner vintage cards to some degree. So really, I say, expand this out. Put EU figures on this design, video game characters, and yes, the Clone Wars figures too. Now personally, I would like to see only realistically styled figures done this way to differentiate the lines, and our question was asked in that context. But hey, let us know your thoughts. Call us at 415-508-JEDI, that's 415-508-5334, or send us an MP3 to show@republicforces.com. And don't forget, you can also share your thoughts about each week's episode. Just contact us by midnight Sunday morning after each new episode and your thoughts may be played on the air. Well, thanks everyone. Hope you enjoyed this special episode of Republic Forces Radio Network to fill out the off week. I'm Jerry, and we will see you next time with our roundtable discussion of Episode 8, Evil Plans. So long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Berent, and Nathan P. Butler of StarWarsFanWorks.com. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademark, Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a production of Ingonza Media Incorporated, copyright 2010, all rights reserved.
How could anybody possibly dispute that? I need a nap right now. Not because you're boring, just because my brain hurts.
Oh, yeah. Amen to that.
Do you have that written out?
That was just off the top of his head.
No, yeah, I was just sitting here clicking them off on my fingers, you know.
Thank goodness.
Not what I meant. I'm recording. Are you going to put that up on the timeline or FanWorks or Facebook or anything? Because I went and made a sandwich, so I missed like half of it.
Whoa! Man. No,
Nathan, in the amount of time in that story that you did, the Cincinnati Bengals scored 2 touchdowns in the amount of time it took you to do that against the Atlanta Falcons.